that we are part of a family of God, part of a unity that goes 2,000 years into the past and which will go into the future until Jesus finally returns. And this is the future of the church. These are the people. And we need to be very, very cognizant of that and always be reminding ourselves of that. So thank you for being with us today. You have blessed us with your presence and reminding us of just how much greater this whole family is than we sometimes think it is. And so I thank you, children, for being with us. And you know, I know we've been standing for a while, so I'm not going to ask you to stand for this prayer, but we're going to pray over them right now for a few minutes before we send them. But if you feel you can, raise your hand over them, just as you can, just as a remind us that these are the future, these are the leaders, these are the people that will carry the word of Jesus forward into time. Father, these are your children as much as they are our children. And so we ask you now that you would bless them, that you would hold each one of them close, that you would continue to remind them of just what a wonderful, wonderful heritage that they have in the family of God. But also more than that, to remind them that they have a role, there's a future for them here, that there's a time when they will be the people that lead others to you. And so, Father, my blessings upon them, anything that I can say in words that would help them, Father, I just wish to give them and provide for them. Right now, Holy Spirit, be upon them. Lift them, hold them. Be with their teachers and help them as they guide them and lead them in this time going forward. And Father, ultimately, we turn them over to you. We leave them in your hands. We thank you for the blessings that they are to us. And we ask you to remind us that they are there and that we have a responsibility for them. So as I said at the beginning, bless them now, our Father. Bless them in every way that your Spirit can bless them. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, as I said, for being here. So you ready to go downstairs and pick up where... Your next part? Sure. Go for it. Yeah. Thank you for being with us. We're going to continue in prayer for just a few more seconds before we introduce the speaker and give you a little bit of information about her. So I'll ask you again to stand. You've had your break. We'll stand for a few minutes and let's just pray, shall we? Father, as we talked about earlier in our prayer earlier, that this recognition that we are, in a sense, in an island of peace, in a sense, in an island of hope, in a world that is sometimes so strange and so difficult. And I can't help but think this morning of all of the different things that are going on in this world that must metaphorically bring tears to your eyes. When I think of the kinds of things that are happening, the killing of each other that goes on in this world, I think of the crazy riots that we saw and we see pictures of in places like Portland and the things that are happening. When I think of people that are right now unsure of what's going to be happening and what the future is in Hong Kong, and I think of we did things we don't even hear much about anymore because they've become so commonplace in our world, like the Ebola crisis in West Africa, where people are dying and we don't even hardly hear about that anymore. I think of the situations in all kinds of places in this world where autocrats are ruling their people with a heavy hand and causing pain everywhere from Eritrea to Russia and to Turkey and places of that nature. And I think of how desperately sad a situation that is, what we have done as human beings in this world. And then I think about the fact of your grace and the fact that your grace alone is enough to overcome all of that, to bring peace to this world one day. And one day we know that the clouds will separate and you will come, Jesus. And the trumpet will sound, and we will be raised And we know that, Father, that that's the day that, that finally all of this will be righted once and for all. Until then, we thank you for this church. We thank you that there are around us people that love and care as we do. We thank you for people in other churches all around the world who continue to teach the gospel. We thank you for organizations like Compassion Canada that we're going to hear about today, that go out and carry the not only the message, but carry our compassion to the world. I think of the verse from James. Religion that God our Father accepts in pure, as pure and faultless as this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. And I just know, God, that this will all turn out right in the end because of you. And so, as we turn now to this message, I would just pray that you would bless the speaker and that you would give us hearts to hear and minds to realize what we have to do and to always be continually in your hands. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Come on up. So our guest speaker today is Camille Parkman, and she and her husband go out and spend time talking to churches. How many churches did you say this year? This year already, okay, and they talk about this very issue of compassion, and so I'm not going to say a lot more other than to say that she is a songwriter and a singer, and she's got a full plate, and of course she's married and husbands are always part of a full plate, we know that, okay, but I'm not going to say a lot more about her. She'll introduce more of the things for herself. Thank you.
I wanted to sing this song over you, and we have the words so you can sing it with me. this is one of my newer songs, and I just wrote it out of an honest place in my heart where I realized a little while ago that I am way more anxious than I think I am. I like to tell people I'm pretty laid back and I'm cool, I'm good, but you know that something's wrong when you're not sleeping at night or when you're kind of getting these heart things going on, and I started to really kind of go, okay, God, what's going on here? And he just said, you got to trust me more. You got to learn how to really, really walk in my peace and sit in my peace. And I know that a lot of you are just like me, because we live in a really busy culture and we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. So anyway, sing this with me if you can, or if you just want to sit back and soak it in. Just let the Lord minister to your heart and just kind of breathe in that peace. This day is all the blessing that I need. For even in the desert you make streams. Forgetting what has come before, I can trust that you are doing something new, even today. And I won't be anxious, but in prayer and thankfulness, I will bring it all to you. Sing that with me. No, I won't be anxious, but in prayer, thankfulness, I will bring it all to you this day. This day is all the blessing that I need. For even in the desert, you make streams without a care, and without a care for what's to come. I can trust that you are doing something new. Even today, and I won't be anxious. Let's just declare that. But in prayer and thankfulness, I will bring it all to you. No, I won't be anxious. yes, I will bring it all to you in the peace. In the peace that passes all understanding will keep my heart and mind. And the peace that passes all understanding will keep my heart and mind. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, I will set my mind on thee.
Let's sing that bridge again. Whatever is true.
Whatever is true. Right now, we just sit in it, we rest in it, we just receive that. Lord, you don't want us to live anxious. Teach us how to walk more and more in your grace, your peace, your life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, can you hear me? Good? Okay. So this is not my, that's my comfortable place. This is my uncomfortable place, but God is stretching me. So I had to actually do this with an interpreter. She was awesome, but that was a stretch. So now I can just talk, hopefully fairly normally. Get organized. I need like a giant thing here. Typical woman. What a pleasure to be here with you this morning. I'm so excited. You know, we drove for 2 days to come and be with you, and always love seeing the mountains. We did live out here for 6 or 7 years, and it's always nice to come back. So long drive yesterday. We realized we were in that car for 12 hours, and it was a little long, but praise God, we're here safe and sound. Rob is here with me, my husband, and actually you can put that picture up of our family. There's my good-looking family. Rob is here with me. We're kind of tag-teaming, switching one service. He does one, I do one. He does one, I do one. And we do this all the time. We minister with compassion, but I love to lead worship. Rob loves to just encourage people and encourage the church and work with leaders, and we love to do all kinds of speaking and singing, and he's written a book, and I've recorded some CDs, and it's just been a real adventure
kind of just going after some dreams and going after some things that we really had on our hearts to do. So these are our three really super good looking boys. The one on your left has a girlfriend. The other two are totally available. So Josh is the one, I don't know if you can see colors very good, that the second one in with the purple, he's our oldest, he's my drummer. And Joey on the left is my guitar player, and Micah is my bass player, and he sings with me now, so this has been really fun. Micah's only 16, so we'd have to do sort of a delayed application for him, but we do take applications for any of you that have godly young ladies that are looking for men. Josh is totally ready, but don't tell him I said that, and never ever, you know, meet him or tell him. Your mom and dad totally talk about you. It's just such a good joke that we just can't resist. But these are our boys. We love them. They're all serving Jesus and ministering. Micah's actually at Hastings Street right now with a missions team doing street evangelism. Joey just took a team to Turkey, and Josh is a pastor in Regina, Saskatchewan. So we are from Outlook, Saskatchewan, which you've probably never heard of. It's just about an hour away from Saskatoon. And yeah, I think that's all I'll say about us. So again, meet us out there later if you've got some young lady that's, or if you are one, we'll screen you. So I wanted to just share a little bit with you this morning. How much time do I have? What time do I need to be done? There's a clock. Anybody? Nobody wants to say? Okay, we gotta go fast. All right, because we have a video too. So I'm gonna just share with you for about 20 minutes or even less if I can. So I'm gonna talk a little fast, but I wanted to just share something that encouraged me so much and came through my husband largely. We were ministering a couple Christmases ago. We did a couple banquets in Alberta at a couple of churches, and after the second one, there was two in particular. For the most part, it had been a really good season, but there was just one church in particular. As we were driving from there to the next place, I said to Rob, that just felt like nothing. It just was one of those times where it just felt like nothing happened. There was zero response, and I don't have a clue if God did anything right there. And so I was really discouraged. You know, you all have those times where you just you just think, God, am I doing anything helpful? Am I really following in your path? And am I doing what I'm supposed to do? And even sometimes when you try, you end up feeling like, well, what just happened there? Because it didn't feel like anything happened. But I wanted to just encourage you. This is actually a two-point sermon. How easy is that to remember? So just to be faithful. First of all, to be faithful in the small things. To be faithful in the small things. And what Rob said to me that day, he just said, don't forget, I'm going to cry already, oh my goodness. He said, don't forget the cumulative effect of all these things that we do. Amen. Of all these things that we do. And we got talking about, you know, we worked at a Bible college for a bunch of years. We got talking about all these young adults that still, actually, they're like young parents now in their 30s, which makes me feel really old. But they come to us now as friends, and they still will say these things like, you had this impact on my life. And I'll think, really? Because we only had this many conversations or whatever. But you know, there's all these things. Or we'll have kids that we worked with at maybe one or two camps that still remember us, or that if we bump into them, they'll say, you had this impact on my life. And we're thinking, wow, God, because we really didn't do very much with them. Like, it was, you know, we weren't there with them in their home church. We were just like sort of a passing thing in their lives, and yet God did something. And so we have to remember the accumulation of what we do. You know, sometimes as a worship leader, it can be hard. You can think, is something missing here? You know, or you guys are awesome to worship with. Oh my goodness, this is fun. I wanted to just dance and start doing circles, and I didn't know if I was allowed, but I thought I better behave because I'm just a visitor here. So awesome. But there's all kinds of doubts and questions we have about our giftings and what is God doing through me. And we just want God to use us, right? Like from the day we're saved, it's like, hey, God, use me. And then sometimes it feels like he's not really, or we don't really know how to step out and find that thing. Or when we try, sometimes it just feels like, well, that fell flat, or it just seemed like the fruit was this big. And so we get really discouraged really easily. But don't underestimate all that accumulation that you have throughout your life of all the people that you touch. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher. Can you imagine all the kids that are going to meet with you in heaven and just go, hey, you were a huge part of me being here. Imagine that. I had a cousin this summer. We had a family reunion, and I was so excited because both of us grew up in non-Christian homes. My mom got saved, and then all of my siblings and I got saved, but all my cousins just seemed like such heathen to me. So we had this family reunion this summer, and I was so excited to find out my one cousin has really he's just given his heart to the Lord in his 50s, and he's just, so he was saying to me, you know, a lot of those seeds were planted at VBS, and then a lot of those seeds were planted at this kids club that I went to. I didn't know he went to a kids club, had no idea. And then he said, and then there were seeds planted when I was in university. I had some friends that would talk to me. And so over the course of his life, he's been mulling and thinking, and had those seeds have been growing, and now he's to a place where he's like, yes, I want to be a follower of Christ. And his daughters are following in his footsteps, and his wife is coming to church with him, and we're praying that she comes. And I just think, wow, God, like, you're doing stuff. And I think of all the prayers that I prayed for him when I was younger, too. And I used to diligently pray. I should still. I don't know why I quit. But I used to diligently pray through a list of all my thousands of cousins and just pray that they would come to the Lord. And I think, who knows what even that did. But don't underestimate. And just be faithful in those small things. There was a man, when we actually lived in BC, we went to Sunrise Church in Surrey, right on Highway 10 there. And there was one man that was the best greeter I have ever met. And I was pretty positive that if anybody came into our church and decided to stay, it was because of him. Because he was so lovely, and he would have this big, honest-to-goodness, genuine smile on his face. And he would just welcome people like, you're my best friend. And God had, you know, he was the perfect greeter. But even for those of you, some of you feel like, well, my job is only this big, or it's something way in the background, and it doesn't make a difference. It does make a difference. And just be faithful in it, and walk in it graciously, and trust God that he will bring fruit through you, that your life will bear fruit. Galatians 6:9, I just want to read this to you quickly. It says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest, if we do not give up. So many times we just want to give up. We just think, I'll just go do my job and try to make lots of money, because at least I can see something happen then. You know, but God is promising here, we will reap a harvest. We will reap a harvest. We will reap a harvest. That's you and me. We will. But we can't give up. So he says, don't become weary in doing good. Don't become weary. I want to tell you a story that's kind of related to compassion. Well, it is, about a young man. If you want to put that next picture up of our Dominican friend, the guy in the middle with the big beard, his lovely smile, that's Jonathan. And just, you know, Jonathan grew up with just his mom, single mom, and he was the product of an affair, and his dad had another sort of real family, if you want to say that. And so Jonathan and his mom just kind of eked out a living. She would squeeze oranges into little baggies. He would sell them on the streets. And, you know, he's a pretty smiley guy, and maybe he was trying to keep his chin up in those days too, but he lived dirt poor. They just kind of barely eked it out. And at one point, you know, he was supposed to be a secret from the real family. And at one point, he used to see his dad about once a year. At one point, though, somehow his dad's family found out about Jonathan, and his dad became very angry, came to Jonathan, and he said, "You were a mistake, and I don't want to ever see you again." So if you can imagine how devastating that would be to hear your own dad say that to you. So Jonathan just went home at absolute zero, and just feeling like zero, feeling absolutely unloved, heartbroken, and unvalued, and just at the bottom, little Jonathan. And his compassion, the very next day, he got a letter from his compassion sponsor, and she just wrote some encouraging words to him, and you know, all she really said was, "I was thinking about all the things that I'm thankful for, and I'm thankful for you." And just those simple words lifted him up, and he was able to go on. He was able to start to believe that he had some value. And it's just one of those little things, right? It was a letter. It was just a little letter. And sometimes as sponsors, we can think, well, yeah, it's just little. Sometimes it just comes out of our account. I don't even remember that I'm sponsoring these kids. And sometimes when I do, I think, well, is it doing anything? But we've seen so much fruit. And like Jonathan. Now, Jonathan, I got to finish his story. We fast forward 12 or 14 years. We met him when he was 20 or 22, early 20s. And big smile like this. And he had gone through the compassion program, gone through the leadership program. And he was, by then, he was actually a leader with compassion. But his friends said, "Come and meet Jonathan and ask him what his dreams are, what he wants to do." So we did, and he said, "Well, someday I'm going to be the president of the Dominican Republic." And we, you know, kind of like you just go, "Oh, so how do you respond to that?" But they said, "No, really." Like his friends were like, "No, really. He's going to do it. That he really wants to do it." He was dead serious. And so we thought, okay, this is awesome. And when you meet him, you actually really believe it, because he's so fiery and such a go-getter. But we saw him a couple years later, and we said, "Jonathan, what about that dream? What about that big dream? Are you still, you're still going after it?" And he said, "I've got a campaign team, and I'm running for Senate in 2020. And so that's next year. And we just thought, wow, this is awesome. This is awesome. So you take a little guy that has no hope, no money, barely eats, probably sleeps on a broken or dirt floor, but the cement sometimes is like this because of the rats underneath, and it's crazy. But God just lifted him up. But it was through this lady sponsoring him and ministering to him, and just that one letter that got him through probably some suicidal moments. And so I want to bring that to your attention so that you can think about, well, what about the little things I can do? What about those little words of encouragement that I could give? Or what if I sponsor a child and I'm writing letters? And, you know, they keep those letters under their bed or in a shoebox, and that's like their greatest treasure. They pull out their sponsor letters when they're having a bad day or when they need a pick-me-up, and they'll just reread them and reread them. So there's an example of being faithful in the small things and God using that. So that's point one, be faithful in the small things. You've all heard that so many times probably in your lives. But secondly, is just to invest in small people. Invest in small people like Jonathan. So I have a question for you. How many of you used to be a kid? It's a dumb question, I know. Yeah, all of you. We were all kids once. We were all small once, and it's a good thing that somebody took care of us, and it's a good thing that somebody told us about Jesus, right? It's a good thing that we got to know him, and lots of us. How many of you came to the Lord, by the age of 14? I did. Let's just show your hands and look around, because there's a lot of us. And the stats are sort of a moving target, but it's somewhere between 70% and 85% of Christians become believers 14 or younger. So it's like one of the best people groups to target. I can't remember his name right now, but the fellow who first coined the 1040 window, you've all heard of that, right? He actually later on, he's a missiologist, He actually later on said, you know, no, the people that we need to target actually the most is the 10-14 window, and he's talking about age. No, I'm saying that wrong. Anyways, it's kids. So 0-14, something like that. But he's saying, let's target the kids because they are soft to the Lord. They're open to the Lord. They have their whole lives to be discipled in the Lord and to really get the truths into them. So I find that really interesting. We're surrounded by kids. They're in our families. They're in our churches. They're on the streets. And there's so many kids in the world that, not so much in Canada, but around the world, well, even in Canada, that are hurting, that are poor beyond what we can imagine. We like I said, we were in homes in the Dominican. This is just one example where, and lots of the homes are like this. It's amazing how many. It's like, if you can picture a tin roof, like with branches, almost like just oversized branches as the posts holding it up, holes in the roof, and some of the floors, they're cement, but this one house we were in, it was definitely not even the size of this stage. It was just a little box of a house, and a quarter of it, the floor was about this sunken because the rats literally go underneath, chew it, or, you know, so it's sinking. And it's like a quarter of their already tiny house is unusable. And this is the kind of conditions that they live in. And it's a lot of people, and it's not just in the DR. It's all around the world. There's conditions like this that just blow your mind. Like, if you could picture your garden shed kind of falling apart, it's going to be worse than that. And that really struck me. That really struck me that, wow, we have a garden shed that's way nicer than this. And it wasn't fancy, so. But we need to invest in those small people. And I want us to read, I think we've got the slide for this. Yes, let's read that. Then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and went away. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. That's how much Jesus loves kids. I really believe that they're like actually kind of his favorite people. So, you know, you see that the disciples, they actually had it backwards, and this was the whole Jewish culture of the time, was that the adults were the most important, and if you were a teacher or a person of authority, then you were, of course, even way more important. And if you were just a child or a woman, you were way, way down here somewhere. And so the disciples still had that mindset. They didn't really know the whole heart of Jesus yet, and he was showing them, like, it's not about these adults, and it's especially, I don't care how important you think these adults are because they're teachers, they're Pharisees, or whatever they are. He said, it's those little guys back there that you're pushing away that I want them. They have the kind of heart that I want. And he was so defensive of them. Like, he says, it would be better for you to have a great millstone fastened around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea than to hurt one of my little ones. That's how much he loves them. And he wants us to love them the same way. We need to get in step with the heart of Jesus and love the people that he loves. Love the people that he loves. And I want to quickly tell you, can we just put that last picture up of, this is our girl from Thailand that we sponsor. She's the little wee one, second from the front, in front of her dad. Her name is Kat. And she's actually 22 now. This is an old picture that we didn't see for a long time, and it's just so priceless to me. But this is an example of what happens when you invest in a small person. So when we started sponsoring her, she was 5 or 6. And we just, you know, kind of wrote her some letters over the years, and we knew that at some point she gave her life to Christ. What we didn't know until she graduated from the program, her mentor wrote us a letter and told us how she was graduating. And what they said to us was that, you know, no, not only did Kat give her heart to the Lord, she brought her whole family to the Lord. And this is actually not uncommon. that these kids, because Compassion works through the local church, they don't come to their Compassion Center and see the name Compassion on the door. They're coming to some church that might say Emmanuel Baptist or whatever in whatever language, and it'll say to them, this is their local church ministering to them, which is actually better. And so then, you know, as they're being changed, as they're being ministered to, they're going to go home and start to say, Mom, you got to come to church with me. Dad, I want you to come to church with me. And that happens so often, and we see so many families coming to the Lord. They say that every 4 minutes a child comes to Christ through Compassion. This is around the world. And for every child that comes to Christ, an average of four family members comes to the Lord. So it's really exciting what God is doing through this ministry. And it ends up being between 130 and 160,000 every year coming to Christ. So we love that about Compassion. And just let me tell you a little bit more actually about the Ministry of Compassion. How many of you are familiar with the Ministry of Compassion? Yeah, just give me... Okay, awesome. There's a few of you. So we love that Compassion, here's a few distinctives. They're Christ-centered, four C's for you to remember. Christ-centered, church-based, child-focused, and committed to integrity. And I'll go through that. So Christ-centered just means that we don't make any apology about preaching the gospel and teaching the Bible to these kids. It's part of when they're signing up to, applying to be able to come to the projects, this Compassion Centers, the parents or the guardians, whoever it is that's with them, has to agree that I'm okay with my child learning the Bible. And this is a huge part of what they do. So Christ-centered, and like I said, many, many of the kids come to the Lord and are discipled and become the leaders and the pastors in their communities. Child-focused, so like we were talking about investing in small people, because that's when they're open. And so Compassion is all about reaching the kids. About 80 or 85% of worldwide missions money goes to reaching adults. But if you think about the fact that about 80% of us get saved as kids, it's a little bit backwards. We need to flip that. And this is partly why we love Compassion too. It's all about getting into those kids' lives, so they can have Jesus and break the cycle of poverty and just be all that God wants them to be. So Christ-centered, child-focused, church-based. And like I said, the kids come. There's always a local church involved and a pastor that has to say, yes, we will get our ducks in a row. Yes, we will get a building. Yes, we will find the volunteers, and we will make this happen. And this means that it's very effective, because like I said, the kids are coming to it. They're coming often to a church building, and in their minds, this is my local church. So it's a natural integration for them into the church, a natural way for them to bring their families into the church. And also, it's just way more sustainable, because it's not dependent on somebody going across the ocean, trying to do a whole lifetime somewhere to run a program. It's like they're just doing it, and we just get to be part of it through resourcing them. So I feel like we have the really easy part. So pray for those volunteers, pray for those pastors. But we met a pastor in the Dominican who said, I had, just like I described some of the needs, and single moms like crazy. It's like, oh, you feel like nobody has their dad in their home there. But the pastor was looking around and just seeing all this need in his city, and he said, I had all these dreams and visions of what we could do. He said, but those dreams just kind of felt like nightmares because I had zero resources. So along comes Compassion and partners with him, and now he's seeing 300 kids plus coming every week, and some of them are coming almost daily, and depends on the center, but coming in for hours every week, and he can minister them, and he's got people and a plan and a program and the teaching and the food and the immunizations and whatever it is they need. And it's just amazing. It's amazing what they're doing. And lastly, Compassion is committed to integrity. And this is, I largely mean financial integrity, because Compassion is committed to at least 80% of your dollars going to directly impact your child. So 80%, and it's almost always closer to 85%. So compassion is in the top 1% of charities. You know, by some of the Charity Navigator is one of the watchdogs that kind of checks these things out, and they've put compassion in the top 1% year after year after year. So your money is I'd say really safe with them. So those are the four C's of compassion, and yeah, I pray that you'd be encouraged by that this morning to continue to be faithful in the small things, be faithful and invest in small people. So we're gonna watch this video, and then I'll just close quickly after that. Do we have that? Okay, let's do that.
In the Philippines, it's so smelly, very dark water. You can see trash, rats.
In a given week, we'll go at least for 3 days without food.
The friends that I played with in the neighborhood got captured and was being trained to become child soldiers.
We would beg our parents just to buy one apple, but even the rotten ones we could not afford to buy.
In a period of 18 months, I lost my small brother Patrick, my mom, and I lost my stepdad because of the terrifying disease of HIV/AIDS.
When my mother died, I was lost. I was looking for hope, for God to just show me that everything was going to be okay.
I would be so jealous with other kids. I would feel that I don't really count.
Since God, you say you love us, why do you have to take so much from me? I don't know why Aaron Mitchell decided to sponsor me, but when he did, my whole life changed.
People from Compassion showed up at my church.
But they said, you're gonna go to school, and then somebody's going to write to you.
I don't have to worry about whether my parents would have enough money to keep me going to school long enough to become that educated person that I wanted to be.
We go to school, and it's usually like really good meal that we don't usually eat, and especially spaghetti and fried chicken.
And you, like, even if I get sick, someone was there to take care of me.
I felt safe. I felt wanted.
My sponsor is Edwin Bunny.
Maria and Hans Rue.
Aaron Mitchell.
Five women from a Lutheran church that were sponsoring me, that really invested in my life and changed my life.
I am now a physical therapist, and I'm working in a hospital.
Today, I'm a clinical social worker.
I was the first child in my family to go to high school. I was the first child in my family to go to college.
I have a bachelor and a master in biomedical engineering, a second master in engineering management, and a guy called me into ministry, so I had to go and get a third master, a master of divinity.
In Kenya today, I have a ministry called Youth Arise Africa that works with boys who don't have father figures.
We opened a small school. It's now providing the same opportunity that Compassion provided to me, to close to 300 kids so that they too can break out of the cycle of poverty. Whatever you do for the least of these,
you do for me.
You did it for me.
You did for me.
Sponsor a child today to break the cycle of poverty in a child's life, like my sponsor did for me.
Amen. I've seen that about 100 and, I don't know, probably 400 times now, and it still makes me weepy. But I do want to encourage you to come and look at our table. We've got tons of kids out there for you to look at from all around the world. And the form to sponsor is right inside, and we'll help you with that. This is just one awesome way that you can be faithful in the small things and invest in small people, that you can get in step with the heart of Jesus and love those that he loves. So please come and see us. Even if you just want to pray over them, we don't want you to feel pressured. We just want you to come and check it out. And if you sponsor today, you will get a gift of either my husband's book, Refuel, or one of my CDs. And we just love to leave you with something in your hands to bless you with. But I just want to thank you again for allowing me to speak to you and for listening and just bless you as a church. And can I just pray for you as a church? Let's just pray. Lord God, I just want to speak your blessing over this church right now. God, I speak your peace. I pray for anyone who's anxious, Lord, that you would set them free, that you would set them free from anxious thoughts and turn their minds to all that's good and true and peaceful and right, to all that you are, Lord, and just breathe peace into every heart this morning. Help us to walk in step with you, and that's including your peace, including your mission, Lord. We want to be in step with you. Help us to get refocused on your priorities, God. You love these kids, and more than we could ever understand. But I just pray that you'd give us even a little glimpse of that we could have that passion of yours, right? Put it into our hearts, just a little seed, God, that we would love them like you do. I just speak a blessing over these pastors, God. I just want to honor them, all the pastors and leaders in this place. And we pray that you'd encourage their hearts today. We pray that you'd strengthen them today. We pray that you'd protect them and watch over their health and their families in Jesus' name. Thank you so much that I could be here. Thank you so much for a church that loves to reach the lost, that's so missional, Lord. I just pray that they would be so blessed as they do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you again.
And I'd like to just pray a blessing over you and your husband as well, and in your work on behalf of the church. Mm-hmm. Father, we know that you are everywhere, and you know the hearts of people. You know what is going on in this world. And we thank you that you have moved in Camille and Rob and Parkman and helped them to find a place that they can do the kinds of things that I know move your heart. And so right now we just ask that you would continue to bless them, that even in the days ahead they would sense your presence, yes. Sense your Holy Spirit in ways that they maybe never have before even, mm-hmm. But that you would continue to simply empower them, yes. and look after the organization as well and the people that work there, but as I say, just our blessings upon them, Father, and that's as much as we could ask, is that you would touch them, and so we thank you in Jesus' name. Would you stand for the benediction, please? And this is the traditional benediction of the church. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated. Just a couple of quick announcements. To draw to your attention, you have them there in front of you, so I won't spend too much time on them. Just note that we do have the nominating committee now to put forward nominations for the elders, and you can see the names of the people that are there. Also note that the VBS starts this week, and we've been talking about children, and that's been a lot of what our message has been about this morning, and what we talked about earlier, isn't it, about children and the importance of children. So what can you do? Well, you can pray for the VBS. That's one thing you can do. And there might be some other things as well if you wanted to talk to me about it. But that at least we can do. We can pray for them regularly over the next couple of 8 weeks as that goes on. Notice, please, that several of the activities of the church are beginning to get lined up, get themselves sorted out, getting ready to go for September, such as you notice the ladies' Bible study reference there. And also note, please, that the baptism, October 26th baptism, the classes are starting September 8th. You should have your name in by now already if you want to be involved in the baptism for fall. But talk to Pastor Joe anyway about it. And youth camp upcoming as well. We have lots of things there for you to look at. And I'm sure that you'll go through it in fine detail, right? Yeah, glad to hear it. Okay. Yeah. All right. And come and join us, please, at the fellowship room for coffee. And just let's be family, as we always should be. God bless you. Take a few seconds of quiet prayer and then head out the door. Okay, thank you.